Welcome to The Allusionist, in which I, Helen Zaltzman, dredge language in flour, dip it in beaten egg, roll it in breadcrumbs, and fry it until golden brown. Coming up in today's show...
You've just carved this hideous statue that you can't bear to look at.
To warm up, here's some word history. Mark from North Carolina writes, "Could you cover the etymology for werewolf? I've always wondered why it's not simply man-wolf or something like that." Mark, trust your instincts, because the were means man. So it does mean man-wolf. Were was the Old English for man, and 1,000-ish years ago, there used to be the word were-man, which didn't mean a man who at full moon turned into a man. It was just a male person, because back then, man was a non-gender-specific term that meant person. A female person was weef-man, and that word evolved to become woman. So if you were wondering whether the word woman is sexist because it contains the word man, etymology says it's not. And neither is the son in person, because person is from the Latin persona, meaning a character in a play, or the mask worn by a character in a play. And female also came from Latin femella, a young woman. And around the 14th century, it was altered to the current spelling because they thought the word must have something to do with male. Of course, women couldn't have just had their own things. So those words aren't sexist, but werewolf is, because shouldn't women be able to be werewolves too? Or weef wolves? Where's the mythological creatures lib movement? On with the show. "Talking about music is like dancing about architecture," said Elvis Costello, or Frank Zappa, or the comedian Martin Mull, or Gore Vidal, or Laurie Anderson, or Steve Martin. I think this is a problematic statement, not just because nobody can agree on who came up with it, but because dancing about architecture doesn't seem to be particularly far-fetched. They're both visual, and I think each medium could probably elegantly reflect the other. Talking about dance, however, is really difficult.
I hate describing dance films.
That's Alice Sanders.
I am Alice Sanders, and I'm an audio describer.
What is an audio describer?
So I describe TV programmes and films for blind and visually impaired people.
Alice's job, in a nutshell, is to watch the film or TV programme, write a script describing what's happening on screen, then record that to fit in around the dialogue when the piece in question is broadcast. What is the worst thing to do?
Dance movies, which I describe many of, the whole Step Up series.
Wow, how many are...
Oh, there's like, I don't know, 15, maybe 47 now. I don't know, there's a lot.
Dancers march on the spot and sink to their knees. Emily smiles in wonder. Mr. Anderson looks around, heavy-browed. A guy appears to fall from one of the top containers. His arms flail as he falls, but miraculously he bounces back up and stands on the edge of the container. He and another guy proceed to plummet from the container, bounce back up, and spin. The audience can't see a tramp.
This is Alice's description of a dance sequence from the fourth Step Up film, Step Up Revolution. So what's so bad about describing dance films, Alice?
Well, the point of dance is that it is a different way to communicate that is not words. And so translating that back into words... It just ends up being horrifying. And so I think there's sort of two ways of doing it. And the first way is a list of movements, factual. You know, she lifts her leg, she steps to the right, she backflips. Which sounds boring. It's like a shopping list, or it doesn't portray a dance, does it?
And that's only one person. If you've got several people doing different manoeuvres in one shot...
Exactly. Well, I mean, also, you're never going to fit in all the moves they do in a dance into words, because saying them takes much longer than it does to actually do them. So you'd have to pick your favourite moves and just list them. The other thing that you can do is that you can sort of describe mood and do it a bit more like, almost like poetry. But then that has the effect of sounding quite pretentious, I think. And especially if you're describing something like street dance, not ballet... It ends up sounding just ridiculous. And you can say like things like robotically or, I don't know, fluidly to get a sort of a feel across, you know, but it just is, it's like you work all day long and they take forever because obviously describing like minutes and minutes of dance sequences is really difficult. You look at your work at the end of the day and it's like, you've just carved this hideous statue that you can't bear to look at. And you just go home very dissatisfied.
Only to come back and do the next Step Up film.
Yeah, I did actually threaten to leave if my boss ever gave me another dance film.
The guys walk up to the side of the container and do death-defying flips and spins. The audience loves it. The container guys somersault through the air. Incensed, Trip goes over to a uniformed policeman. The cop turns robotically. He's actually a dancer. He shoves a donut in Trip's mouth.
All right, who said the best pictures were on the radio? If you can trust the movies themselves, and I'm not convinced you can, this is how dance is put into words.
Step, push, step, step, touch, kick. Again, step, push, step, step, strong arms. Again, pivot, step, walk, walk, walk. The last part is pivot, step, walk, walk, walk. Going to the end and 5, 6, 7, 8.
It's not how I speak.
Oh, so a chorus line isn't a documentary. Stephen Hoggett is a choreographer and movement director. He's worked on myriad plays, music videos, performance pieces, and big Broadway and West End productions such as Once and The Curious Incident of the Dog in the Nighttime.
In terms of creating a piece of material now for a piece of theatre, the chances are, and even for dance, there's a lot of people that wouldn't really kind of use that kind of terminology. It still has absolute clarity for lots of people. It still has lots of credibility for very pure pieces of dance. And it will be how pieces of work are made in that way. But increasingly, people are... It's a very interesting time to work in choreography. The language, the lexicon of it is in flux.
Oh, really?
Very interestingly, yes.
Yeah, why?
Yeah. I think because theatre is now becoming a form where you may see dance and dancers and dance pieces in the middle of it, and not just like a dream ballet midsection. It's actually, it permeates through the entire piece. So the form of dance is actually becoming far more prominent in what would normally be straight or strict theatre. My career tends to be with people in the room who are not trained dancers very often. So I work with actors as well as dancers.
So they don't have a dancer's vocabulary. In which circumstance, how does someone like Stephen, with 20 years dance experience, communicate movements without recourse to terminology that dance lay people won't understand?
In lots of ways, you look at the material about in which the piece is based, and then at other times, it's just what makes sense in the room. So yesterday, I'm working here with a company on Pinocchio. And one of the best ways to describe the qualities that we were talking about, the kind of puppet-like nature of their bodies, we call it ghost-like or donkey-like. And donkeys were one of those little kind of wooden toys where when you press the bottom, the donkey's legs collapse in different ways. So sometimes it's very reductive. And it's about looking from my position at the people in the room and who they are and what they know and what they hear and what they understand. In any given circumstance, a choreographer will be looking for the best results as fast as possible. So it's about using language and terminology that gets right to the heart of the exercise, but also allows in some ways for them to be able to interpret, because you want them to explore and play as physical beings rather than just aiming for a jeté.
Right. So it's not as strict as, say, classical ballet would be.
No, and it doesn't have to be. That's the joy of it, I think. Whereas classical ballet, your jeté is your jeté, and God help you if you start to mess with that.
Speaking of which, I was curious about how classical ballet choreography has been preserved for posterity, because they'll often revive choreography from long before video or living memory could have recorded it. Sure, someone probably wrote down lists of arabesques and chassés and grand pliés, but is writing sufficient to convey the exact angles and degrees of movement and the intangible elements of expression?
There are repetiteurs whose job it is to uphold and keep the sanctity of certain choreographers who will go around the globe. And if you sign up to do one of the productions, they will be the person that will have the last word in how that movie is done and what the angle of the fingers is and the hand and the accent and the musicality. The documentation of it is always, you know, scrappy and poor because nobody's ever... There's Laban notation.
Laban notation, invented by modern dance pioneer Rudolf Laban in the 1920s, is a system of abstract symbols for recording physical movements and their meanings.
But it's very, very time-consuming. And in some ways, I quite like that because it's meant that there's always room for interpretation because it's the form that it is.
So the repetiteurs could have their own agenda, really.
They always have their own agenda, yes.
Like 5 degrees more with the arms.
Yes. If they don't like the dancers in the room, there's like more, more, more.
So yeah. Before video, the way to record it was write it down and yes. Hope for the best?
Yes. And even now, the way in which it's recorded visually is quite poor in lots of ways, unless you're smart about it.
How does it work if you're working with dancers where you don't necessarily share a common language?
You have to invent. That's the point. I have to say that the strongest foundation of my career was my English background as a graduate.
Hang on, I've got an English degree as well, and this is the first time I've ever heard anybody say that English degrees are useful.
It's absolutely the bedrock for my choreographic career. I thank my lucky stars that I spent many years poring over books rather than being in a studio, because I would have been a terrible pure dancer.
That's really extraordinary. How do you think the poring over books created the modern you?
Because your imagination, I was encouraged to use my imagination way into my 20s when I was still studying. Somebody just saying, don't just read the book, think about it. That's what helped me in every instance of being able to try to communicate and use language and words and reinvent my kind of language every time you do a new piece, because that company are different, that task is different, the show is different. And it does require a choreographer to be responsive to a room and to find expressions and terms and words, literal kind of phrases that make sense for each project. My kind of bugbear has been to create narrative through physicality so that audiences feel like they're listening to a conversation, but it happens in physical terms.
And then maybe, eventually, Alice Saunders will turn it back into words. Thanks very much to Stephen Hoggett and Alice Saunders. One of Stephen's shows is about to open in London, and when she's not audio describing, Alice is a writer and performer. I'll link to both of them at theallusionist.org/dance. Just before we part ways, your randomly selected word from the dictionary today is poetaster. Noun. One who writes inferior poetry. Inferior. Way to sound extra withering, dictionary. This episode was produced by me, Helen Zaltzman. Thanks to Eleanor McDowell and Miranda Sawyer. You can find me at Facebook and Twitter /allusionistshow and at theallusionist.org, where I've started adding transcripts of each episode because someone asked if I could make the show accessible to people who are deaf and hard of hearing. So if you do know anyone who'd have reason to read the show rather than hear it, please direct them to theallusionist.org/transcripts. And please join me again in 2 weeks. Step, point and curtsy.